Hello and welcome to the Project Love podcast. I'm Selina Barker.
And I'm Vicky Pevitt. In these podcasts, we explore what it takes to create a life, relationship and career you love.
And not just one that looks good on the outside, but one that feels good on the inside.
So, welcome to our second Project Love Real Love Story. We're here in the Dalston Curve Garden. Beautiful afternoon, just had a pot of tea, some kids running around, so there might be a bit of background noise. And I'm here with Alice today, and we're going to talk a little bit about her relationship with Sam. So to kick things off, I'd love to know how you and Sam first met.
we first met in a grotty nightclub in South London. Mm-hmm. It was quite fortuitous, actually. The night, I think it was something to do with maybe Ali Warm and maybe Dolan or somebody, and the night had been moved or cancelled. They'd lost their venue in North London and it had been moved to South London, and me and the friend that I was going out with that night had said, we'd kind of decided maybe we wouldn't go. We stayed in, had a Chinese at home, and then we were like, actually no, sod it, let's go down to South London. And Sam had kind of had a similar conversation with his friends apparently, and then decided no, sod it, he was going to go. And anyway, we were in the coat queue, waiting to put our coats in, and one of his friends was at the back of the queue and Sam was at the front of the queue, and his friend at the back was shouting over us to try and get his friend's attention. And so I shouted to Sam, your friend's trying to get your attention. And I just remember Sam turning around and going, nice. that was kind of it. And then we got to the front of the coat queue and had a little chat, and then he sort of followed me and my friend around for the rest of the evening, and so we were dancing together, and I think we'd had a few drinks, so it's all a bit hazy, but I just remember spending a lot of the evening snogging like teenagers. Not really thinking anything, of it, just kind of, I've met this really nice guy, and then things developed from there, really.
Mm. And then how did things developed? Did you end up going and arranging a first date off the back of that?
We spent the whole of the next day together, and then we saw each other the following evening. We went to a club night that night as well. Mm-hmm. So there was lots of dancing involved. Dancing always has always played quite a large part in our relationship, and just it wasn't the easiest start to relationship, really. He was relatively recently out of a relationship with somebody else. It was quite soon after, really, for him, and he was spending a lot of time away with work, and it wasn't the sort of easiest start. We didn't get to spend a huge amount of time together at the beginning, but whenever he was in London, we saw each other and made the most of it, and that's kind of how things developed, really.
Mm. And then was there a moment in time where you kind of both realised, okay, this is serious, or this is the one?
I think probably, the first 6 months, I think, were actually quite difficult, because he was going through a tough time with work, and things were a bit up and down. It was probably the hardest start to a relationship that I'd had, so it wasn't an immediate, this is the one. There were lots of doubts at the beginning. And then I guess we both kind of really realised, probably after Burning Man, actually. Burning Man was quite a sort of pivotal point in our relationship. It's quite a full-on experience being out there and spending, that much time and that much intensity of time, actually, because it's sort of, it's quite an intense experience being at Burning Man and with another person, and sort of really having to make things work, and being in such close proximity with each other. If you have rows, you have to sort it out there and then, and
nowhere to hide.
Yeah, absolutely. And we had a blazing row actually when we were there, and I think that just cleared a lot of there. I wasn't expecting him to propose when he did, but I think for him, he said that was kind of, I think that was his moment when he thought, this is it. I don't think there was never, there was never at the beginning of the relationship a sort of, this is the guy for me, we're going to be together forever. It was quite hard work, but I'm really glad that we stuck it out and worked at it. Mm. And there was a lot of questioning, you know. I've always kind of been of the opinion before, if you have to work that hard at something, then maybe it's not right. And I'm so glad that we did, because I think had I, you know, followed that through and, you know, taken that thought further, then maybe we wouldn't be together now.
Mm. Yeah, and I think there is an expectation that relationships are supposed to be easy and effortless and spontaneous, and if you have to put any effort into them, then there's something wrong. And we talk about this a lot, Selena and I, where we really question that kind of preconception that it is supposed to be effortless. Yeah. So why would it be effortless? It's probably the most important thing in your life. When you spend time with someone and make a life together, why shouldn't it be work at times? Obviously not all the time, but you know, it's really rewarding when you come out the other side and you see that all the stuff you've been working towards, you end up with a much deeper relationship at the end of it.
Definitely, absolutely. And I think it's a lot less work now. Things feel a lot more natural than they did at earlier on in our relationship, so it's kind of gone the other way, you know. The work has kind of paid off, and you know, we have a much better understanding. And maybe that's just natural because you've been with someone for so long, but I do feel like, you know, there have been certain points where things have just got easier. And you know, I hope it carries on in that way.
And how did you deal with some of those difficulties in the early days, like the first 6 months? Was there anything that you particularly was there anything that you tried consciously? Was there a strategy there, or was it just like talking to each other and learning from each other?
I think in the very, very early stages of the relationship, I just gave him lots of space, really, and let him make all the moves and arrange to see me. And because there was, you know, he had a lot of other stuff going on at the time, and I was just kind of like, you know, if it's going to work, and if he wants to be with me, he'll make that effort. And so I didn't instigate anything probably for the first 4 or 5 months, and then after that, I guess, you know, when whenever times did get difficult, I don't think there was any real way that we would go about solving things or sorting things out. I think we had a lot of very heated arguments in the first year, and obviously a lot of making up after those arguments. It was just very up and down. There was no real way that we solved things or came to an understanding. But I think, you know, the more we came to understand each other and, you know, our own weaknesses and our own strengths, and, you know, we both have a lot of weaknesses, and we understand each other's areas of need, or, you know, or what we need to get from the other person, and, you know, what we can give to each other to help each other, I guess. Mm. So you just, you know, I guess the more you learn about someone, the more you're with them, the more you understand what they love about themselves or don't love about themselves, and you know, you try to make that work and make it better. Mm. That makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does make sense. And I think sometimes arguments are the best way to get things out there, get them out in the open, because there are sometimes things that you don't want to say because you don't want a confrontation, and avoiding that confrontation is sometimes bad, because then you're not given that situation where you're just like,
exactly. I'm a massive one for avoiding confrontation, and Sam, not that he loves confrontation, but he wants to know immediately, you know, and I'm, you know, it's typical man woman thing. What's the matter? Nothing.
Yeah.
I know there's something the matter. Nothing's the matter.
And that was something that Sam's brother said in his speech at your wedding.
Was it?
And he said, I'll just share some words of wisdom. He said, when you ask a woman, is she all right, and she says nothing, she's lying.
It's so true. Yeah, that was a fantastic speech. Yeah, no, it's very true. I guess, it's just avoiding confrontation and not wanting to necessarily raise things that are bothering us or on our minds, but it always pays to do it in the end, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And I think what you touched on about, you know, getting to know each other, and once you understand each other, then you kind of know Like he knows when he asks you if you're okay and you say nothing, he knows he has to find a different way to get out of you because it's not nothing. So then it's just all a learning, isn't it?
Yeah.
As well, on the topic of your wedding, which was such a beautiful day for all of us being there, sharing it with you. And one of the things that was so lovely about it is that you had your own vows and it was all personalised in your humanist ceremony. When you created those vows, it really felt like you'd spent a lot of time thinking about, you know, what's important to you both and forming a piece of prose, I guess, of just, you know, kind of highlighting and sharing that with friends. And what was it like putting those together?
The actual humanist ceremony was just beautiful, and we wrote our own vows and, you know, spent a lot of time apart writing what we meant to each other, and we didn't share those vows with each other until we actually said them on the day. So it was, it was really nice. We had the sort of the ceremony with just Sam and I, the sort of legal bit, and then we had the second day, which was us declaring everything we felt for each other in front of all of our friends and family, but in our own words, and it was just really important to us to do it that way.
Oh, everybody was in tears.
Except Sam and I. I think we were just both a bit nervous, and I thought before I was about to walk down the aisle, I could feel the tears welling up and just the emotion, and then when I actually got into the room, I just saw everyone smiling, and it was just, it just really gave me so much support and took away those fears of, you know, just messing something up or saying something wrong, and it just became a really, really lovely experience.
And one of the other amazing things is all the speeches, and what we hear a lot as well in relationships is that you two people support each other to grow, and that is one of the secrets to a really happy and healthy relationship. We support each other to grow, and I really felt like I could hear that in some of the way that they were talking about your relationship, especially talking about Sam when you were saying, you know, when you first met, and he's a photographer, and he's you're constantly manic, busy, no time for himself.
A lot of time abroad.
Yeah, and having ideas and wanting to pursue them, but not really knowing the right way. And it felt like you really kind of gave him space to be able to do that. Yeah. And now it's really paying off.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that was one thing that Alison captured so well when she wrote the ceremony, because she really got a sense from us, obviously, through talking to us, how important our friends and family have been in, you know, in our relationship. And you kind of don't realise it when you're in the middle of it. You sort of, you know, you don't realise what, you know, how much you turn to your friends or your family, and or how much they've influenced you, and how much their influence pays off on, you know, the things that, how you are with the person that you love. And she really captured that beautifully. And you know, Sam has changed career in his early 30s, and it's a really, really brave thing to do, but it's also something that requires a lot of support. And you know, he's very, very lucky to be so well thought of from all his friends and family and people giving him that level of support and encouragement. And you know, lose track of how many people say how proud they are of him, or how brave they think he is. And you know, I just hope that he realizes that himself. I'm sure he does, but everybody has doubts, don't they, when they're making such a drastic change to their life. And
definitely.
And that was what Alison obviously realized came from talking to us. You know, she realized that it's just such an important element of our relationship, is that support and the friends and family around us, not just through Sam's work, but you know, for our relationship as well.
Yeah, because it is a really scary thing, changing careers, and you've changed jobs as well. And having that support, that kind of as a foundation, I think kind of makes it a bit less scary. Or you can be scared with someone else, and it's you know, shared. It's like daunting.
Yeah, I mean, when I was changing jobs a year ago, you know, I talked so much to Sam about it, and you know, he's very level-headed and very supportive, and you know, he always said to me, whatever decision you make will be the right one, and have confidence in you. And it meant a lot. It's nice to be able to support each other in those things.
Yeah, definitely. And that really comes through. I think all of your friends really see that in the two of you. You are a very supportive couple to each other, but you also, and I was talking to Pav about this earlier, you also create this kind of environment where you're a team, and you create this welcoming environment where you want to invite friends into that. And I think people find that very infectious. They want to be around people like that, where two people love each other, but they want to share that love with others. And it's really lovely.
Absolutely. No, totally. And we're lucky to have a lot of friends who, you know, like you and Pav, and people that you can share funny stories with about the other person, and you know, but also, you know, support each other in, you know, love, life, careers, everything really.
Yeah. And what would you say are like the foundations of a healthy and happy relationship?
I think honesty and just being open about your feelings, really. And it doesn't come that easily to some people, the people it does.
Yeah.
If you're a closed person and you can't articulate how you feel, then it's very difficult for the other person to work with that or give anything back. And I think I've certainly learnt with Sam that it's about communication and just being honest with each other and saying how you feel, and laughter, dancing, all those things, all the fun stuff, but all the serious stuff as well, and just working hard to get it right, and just realizing that, you know, like you said at the beginning, you know, you do have to work at things, and if you do, it often pays off.
The hardest things are often the most rewarding.
Very true.
So my last question is, what advice would you give to single women today who are looking for a healthy, happy and fulfilling relationship?
I would say, from my own experience, I would probably say that you won't meet the right person unless you're happy in yourself. I think, before I met Sam, I think I probably spent 2 years in a bit of a midlife crisis trying to figure out. I was going through my 30 and out of a very long-term relationship, and it took me a good couple of years to figure out who I was again and what I wanted and what made me happy, and become an individual again and happy with who I was. And then I met Sam, and you know, I spent the previous 2 years wondering why I hadn't met anyone, and you know, getting hung up on it, and it just wasn't the right time, you know, I wasn't the right person then. And I think that when you're happy in who you are, that's when you meet someone. And and if you're not happy with who you are, you need to address that before you can find someone. No one really makes you happy. It's down to you to make yourself happy, and then you'll find somebody when the time is right, I think. But trying to force the issue is it doesn't normally work. Also to, you know, to love yourself, because you know, if you don't love yourself, then you know, oftentimes you find that, you know, it's hard for other people to love you if you don't, you know, you've just got to know who you are really, and know your strengths and know what makes you beautiful inside or beautiful on the outside, and I guess that becomes very attractive to other people if you're happy in your own soul and happy in your own shoes.
Yeah, absolutely. Dancing shoes. Yeah, and that's a big part of what we're doing with Get Ready for Love, and which is a course we're designing for single women to help them kind of reconnect with themselves and find out what makes them happy and explore what they want in a partner. And all of those things you just said, that's crucial before you do get into a relationship. Yeah. You have to know who you are and know how to make yourself happy. And it does take a lot of time. It can be a big journey that you go on with yourself first. And you can't hurry that kind of process. But then when you do meet someone, you're able to make yourself happy, and then someone else comes along and just shares that with you rather than putting all the pressure on them. Like, right, you've come along. I want a man to make me happy. Here you are.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, it's a huge responsibility.
Yeah, it's almost like a little light inside that just sort of burns quietly, and until you've figured out who you are, whether you know what makes you happy, and then all of a sudden that light starts to shine externally, and people become attracted to that light. And I think it's all about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So that rounds up our real love story with Alice, and I've loved talking about your relationship. I just think it's one of my most inspiring relationships I know. So thank you so much for sharing that with us.
I've enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you.
listening to the Project Love podcast show. We really hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you're feeling stuck in your love life and finding dating to be frustrating and exhausting, then come and join Get Ready for Love, our 30-day online course to transform your love life. As well as having us, Selena and Vicky, as your co-pilots throughout your journey, bringing you a lesson every day and videos and audio tutorials bursting with energy and love, you'll also be welcomed into our private Facebook group, The Love Zone, where you can hang out with like-minded women and ask for help and guidance whenever you need it. It really is gorgeous in there. Head over to loveprojectlove.com/get-ready-for-love to sign up. And if you'd like to find out more about love coaching with me, Vicky, then head to Coaching and Courses over on loveprojectlove.com.